A couple of years ago, I found myself in a very disturbing situation. I was getting off work at my student internship in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it had been snowing all day. Now, for all you guys who live in the South, you know it's a big deal when it even calls for snow and grocery stores are raided the nights before. I decided to go and get some groceries to enjoy with my girlfriend, now wife, since the mayhem had ended and only people like me who had trucks or all-terrain vehicles could get around. I went into Walmart and got the groceries I needed to start my way back to my truck. It had started to snow harder, and there was already about 5 to 7 inches on the ground, and it was already 12 in the afternoon. I was daydreaming about sledding and watching movies the next couple of days with my girlfriend. Just then, as I had almost reached my truck, I was jolted by the act of someone grabbing my arm. As I turned around, I saw an older-looking lady who was maybe about 5'6". She asked me if I had a cigarette. Now, I don't smoke, so I told her I didn't, and then turned back to my truck. Again, she gently tugged on my arm. She then told me that she just got here from Alabama on a bus with her granddaughter and dog, and she was here for breast cancer treatment, and that she needed money for a hotel. Again, I honestly told her that I had no money on me, which I purposely do because I don't like donating to people's drug habits, and I would rather give people food myself if that's what they really wanted. At this point, she then said, "Do you know the area well around here?" Wanting to just get out of the situation, I just said no, I didn't, which was a lie, thinking that now she'd leave me alone. Then she asked, "Oh, okay. Well, since the weather is so bad, will you drive me to my hotel so I can meet up with my granddaughter and her dog who are in the hotel lobby waiting? It's right up the road here. I can show you. I'm a Christian, and I was always taught to help people out." So even though everything at this moment told me to deny this woman again, I told her sure, since I was raised on the rule, never judge a book by its cover. Plus, being a male at 6 foot, I figured I could take her on if things got dicey. So she jumped in my truck against all odds, and the next thing I know, she's smoking a cigarette in my truck, and I told her politely to please put it out. Being nervous, I missed my first red flag when she asked me for a cigarette, since she obviously had some. She obliged and threw the cigarette out the window to my dismay. So we started driving up the road towards her hotel, at which point I was on high alert. At the moment of going through worst case scenarios in my head, I noticed her fumbling through her purse searching for something and looking out of the corner of her eye at me. At which I told her, "Just so you know, I have a gun in my truck, so don't try anything crazy." Now, I did have a gun, but it was a shotgun that I had neglected to get out of my backseat a couple of days earlier. And in this reality, this would do me no good if she had pulled a gun on me at that very moment. At this, she stopped messing around in her purse and pulled out her cell phone in her pocket. Then she looked at me and said, "Actually, do you mind taking a detour? I need to pick up some money from some friends of mine." Okay, at this point in time, red flags were firing off. But again, never judging a book by its cover kept running through my mind. So I told her that was fine, but we had to make it quick because I really needed to make it home. Right at that moment, she dialed someone on the phone and said, "Yeah, this guy's coming over to bring me to get the stuff. You're ready, right?" At that point, I asked her to talk to the person. When I answered the phone, a man who sounded like he's been chain smoking since birth then said,
"Hello?"
I started asking him questions like, "What's your name?" And I asked him if indeed he knew of any hotels nearby. He seemed to stumble over his words and then said he had to go. At this point, I should have gotten a clue and kicked her right out of my car, especially after watching so many horror movies. This is usually when the person goes against their gut and pays for it. But for fear of her actually telling the truth and me feeling like a terrible person, I decided to go on. At this point, we turned down the street and saw a cop car sitting there off to the side. I wanted to drop her off with the cop, but I would really feel terrible if she actually was telling the truth. So I passed the cop, and she had this weird eerie smile on her face, then said, "Glad he's here, now I feel safe." Now, as we entered the apartment complex, I saw how run down it was. It looked to be a place where heavy drug traffic was going down. Just a very unsettling place, even during the snow. As I parked outside the place that she said was her friend's, She then said, "Okay, I'll go get the guy and I'll be right back." At this, I was very unsettled by everything. Things just didn't seem right. She saw my facial expression of wanting to just get the hell out of Dodge. And to this, she sneered at me, saying something along the lines of me being a terrible person if I left her there, especially in this weather under her condition. At this, I just got mad. After all, I already went out of my way to help her. As I waited, I had started to think about things that could happen. What if she brought back a gun or worse? At that moment, I saw three guys coming towards my truck. I realized things weren't right. She had set me up to rob me or something because these guys were big, and one of them had something behind his back which I couldn't see. At that moment, I put the vehicle in reverse and took off. Thank God for four-wheel drive. I looked back to them chasing me, and to see what was hidden behind the one guy's back was a crowbar. I don't know what would have happened to me, but now looking back, I see how dumb and blind I really was. There was no hotel anywhere close to the area I was in. The nearest hotel or motel was 20 minutes away. Had I waited for the guys to get to my truck, they probably would have beaten and robbed me, or worse. I thank God every day that I escaped and was able to get married until this event. After that, I've never been to that Walmart again, or the area for that matter. A couple of months later, I told a coworker this story, and he told me that a year ago the same lady tried the same thing to him, but he declined altogether. Smart move on his part. Be careful of who you help out, because some people will really take advantage of you, or worse. A few years ago, when I still lived in upstate New York, something really freaky happened to me. If you've ever been to upstate New York during the winters, you know that it can snow a lot. I usually just spent snowy nights watching TV. I lived about a mile or so from any other house, and my roommate was out. Now, I'll be honest, being alone made me feel uncomfortable. I've always had an overactive imagination, and random small noises really freak me out. Like I was saying, my roommate was out of the house and it was snowing heavily. It was probably like 9 or 10 at night if I can remember correctly, and I was watching TV just like normal. All of a sudden, I heard a crunch outside like someone was stepping on ice. This is night and heavy snow, miles away from any other house. I mean, who could possibly be outside? The footsteps just stopped at some point. I eventually fell asleep, and when I woke up, my roommate was now back. I went outside to see if I could find any evidence of who was outside, and what I found still haunts me. I saw footprints in the snow coming out of the woods and circling around my house. The footprints were filled in for the most part, so it was a bit hard to figure out where they were going. The scariest part of all this, though, is that the footprints stopped right outside my bedroom window. The other footprints were filled in, but these were fresh, as if someone had been standing there all night since the snow stopped early in the morning. To this day, it still scares me. I don't know what kind of person would be out in those woods. The fact that while I was in my room, they were standing outside my window still just freaks me out. I moved out of that house a few months later. So, just over 10 years ago, I was fresh out of college and had moved back to my parents' house for the free rent and food for 9 months or so before I was leaving the state for graduate school. Now, my parents are super chill and gave me my own space in the house, but being a 22-year-old single guy and living at a house in the sticks is certainly not ideal, but I didn't have any other options, so I started looking for some work more to pass the time than to save up some money. Also, as a side note, my parents had just recently moved about 40 miles south of a major Midwest city. Anyway, so summer turned to winter, and I still hadn't found anything solid. But by then, I desperately needed to spend some more time out of my parents' house, so I took a part-time gig doing some light bookkeeping for a small business owner guy that my dad knew. I didn't really want to do it since it didn't pay that much, was short-term, and wasn't even a real office setup. But again, since my parents lived in the middle of nowhere Midwest, Thank acres and acres of farms. I knew that I had limited opportunities to make some cash, and this guy was going to pay me under the table as well. About that same time, a friend of mine in the city said that if I just paid him $200 a month and helped him clean up, he'd basically let me crash in his living room until I was ready to move out of state. That was all I needed to hear. I took the job. So my dad's friend's family had a construction type business. They helped out with building stuff a little, but it was ultimately more focused on renting out a few bobcats and large augers that they owned. Also other various drills, and then odds and ends like generators and other low-level construction or farming equipment that someone in that area couldn't afford to purchase but needed to use from time to time. This was a small mom-and-pop type thing where everyone knew everyone, and the office only opened on days that when someone was coming by, and was just generally a mutual beneficial situation for the business owners and the locals. Since I mitered in a business-adjacent area and my dad recommended me, they trusted me to go there for about 15 to 20 hours a week and check and file the rental forms, make sure nobody missed a payment date if there was a payment plan in place, answer an email or two discussing prices and availability, etc. Super easy gig. The old building where I worked was about 90 years old and at the top of this little hill. The downstairs used to be an old country bar until the 1970s when this family bought it cheap, cleared out the bar, and fenced in the property to use its parking lot area to store all their rental equipment and gear. I could generally come and go as I pleased, work any hours I wanted as long as the work got done. So if things were slow and there weren't any rentals for a couple of days, I usually just go in after 7 and stay in until around midnight or 1, since I knew I'd be alone and could listen to music really loud and take my time and all that. The office where I worked was on the second floor of the building above the old bar and looked out into the long driveway. From my seat, I could easily see out the window and once or twice saw a family of deer or a raccoon scamper by. And I always glanced out when I saw movement since it was very noticeable. It was incredibly remote, very still and quiet. So if something unusual occurred or if something felt off, I definitely noticed it. One night during winter, it had snowed a few inches, and my dad told me to stay in because the roads were bad, but I had an old SUV, and more than that, just really wanted to get out of the house. So I went into work at about 8 p.m., and I was going to stay until just after 1. I always left the gate open at the bottom of the hill, since believe me when I say that nobody ever showed up at night since we were literally in the middle of nowhere. I think the nearest occupied house was about 2 miles down the road. And even to turn into our short road, you had to only be coming to our specific building and probably know it was there beforehand. It really was a locals only type thing, and very small, since the family had inherited a lot of money and kind of did this rental thing on the side. Basically, someone would never get just lost and end up at our building. So anyways, I'm jamming away to some Fallout Boy and having some coffee, and I kept glancing at the snow outside here and there, since our one orange streetlight reflected on the ground at the gate and was causing the light to shine out the snow in a really cool kind of way. At one point around midnight, I went downstairs to the big bathroom to do my bathroom business and then came back upstairs and got settled back into my work. I probably did about 5 minutes of work when I glanced outside and saw a huge imprint of something in the fresh snow just below the light. It seemed like it must have just been a huge dog or substantial animal that had just rolled around on the ground there on its back or something. Since I didn't notice it just 15 minutes before, it had to have happened while I was in the bathroom or maybe when my back was turned, since I would have seen that type of movement for sure. I shook it off and assumed it was a dog or maybe even a farm animal had gotten loose and maybe it was attracted to the light or something, as this was common as it was that kind of area. Who knows? At around 2 in the morning, I was leaving, and as always, got out of my car to lock up the gate. And to be honest, I had pretty much forgotten about the imprint in the snow, but when I looked down, I was shocked to see that it wasn't just some disturbed snow, but it was undeniably the imprint of a human-made snow angel. If you don't know what a snow angel is, it's when kids lie on their back in the snow and push their arms and legs back and forth, so when they get up, it looks like the outline of an angel. I used to do this when I was a kid, so I 100% knew for sure that's what it was, and it was deliberately made underneath the light post, but it wasn't from a kid, it was from a very large person. or at the very least a normal-sized adult wearing tons of layers of big winter clothing. I looked up and I saw what I already knew, that whoever made this snow angel could easily look up and have seen me through that window, so they must have waited for me to head downstairs to make this angel. Now, I definitely would have seen or heard if someone drove up to our building, even if I was in the bathroom. So I knew someone had to have walked deep into the freezing and cold snow for a few miles, stopped in front of our building, and then do a snow angel in the small amount of time I wasn't sitting in the front of my desk window. I glanced around for tracks in the snow and saw that there was one set that led to the nearby woods to the right of the building. So it was clear the person didn't use the road, but instead came from the opposite side, which made me feel instantly uneasy, since that side was just trees and darkness for miles and miles. I was definitely a little freaked out now, since I realized that someone had just been this close to me secretly in the middle of the woods, and I looked around but didn't see anything amiss at all, and now I just wanted to get the hell out of there. When I got back in my car and drove a few feet, I realized that my boss would be there in like 4 hours and might see that same snow angel, and then assume I did it, since he probably assumed I kept the gate locked when I was there. It wouldn't have been that big of a deal at all, but I was young, and I felt like I might be made fun of by him if nothing else. They were all very manly men. I liked books. So I opened the gate back up real quick, ran over, then kicked the snow around so it hid the angel, then locked it up again and went back to my car. Also, I should note this is really what happened at this moment, but I almost lied here and said something else since it seems fake. Since I assume the average person wouldn't actually get back out of their SUV and not just flee in their car because they're embarrassed about a snow angel. But at the same time, I was insecure and cared a lot about what others thought. So unfortunately, this is what I did. Also, I wasn't exactly fully terrified at this point, even though it was certainly unsettling. I just thought it was really weird and could have been an illegal hunter, even though hunting at night in the cold didn't really make much sense. Either way, the imprint was made 2 hours earlier, and I assumed they were long gone at this point. But that's when I heard it. When I was getting into my SUV, there was the loudest high-pitched laughing coming from the woods. It almost sounded like a fake laugh, like the witch in Wizard of Oz or something. Like someone was doing it fake on purpose to show how they weren't scared of me, or how I'd react at all once I knew they were laughing at me on our property. It was close enough that I knew they could probably see me. But I couldn't see them at all, since other than the streetlight I was under, there was no illumination. After a few seconds of laughing, they stopped, and then it was just silence everywhere, except for my heart beating through my ears. Then the laughing started up again, though louder this time, more like screaming and laughing combined. I sort of froze for just like 5 seconds, listening in panic. Now, I spent a lot of time in that area, and I know what coyotes and foxes sound like at night with their high-pitched screeches during mating season, so I can't completely logically rule that out. But to me, it honestly felt like it was an adult man trying to emulate a woman laughing, like someone was deliberately trying to make a fake scary shriek laugh in order to scare someone. Well, it worked. After those 5 seconds, I immediately filled with adrenaline, got in my car, and drove the hell away from there as fast as I could without sliding off the road. Back at home, I was up all night trying to figure it out, and I even told my parents the story when they woke up. After talking it out, we all decided it was one of two things. It was either my brain somehow convinced itself that the snow formation was angel-shaped, when it was really just caused by some animal, and then the snow tracks and laughing was just a coyote or red fox. Though I don't think that's what it was. What I truly believe, the second thing, which is that some local was walking around for some reason and decided to mess with me. I didn't have any close friends left in that area that would do this, and if they did, they would have certainly brought it up to make fun of me for speeding away in terror. I found out later that the nearest house was a super old couple, so I highly doubt that it was one of them, which means that whoever went out in the woods at night in the freezing cold did it just to mess with a stranger. I don't have any mental issues or a family history of them. I didn't do drugs, and I drank socially at that time, but certainly didn't that night. I also don't believe in the paranormal, so I never once gave that a thought. In my heart, I know someone was out there. I worked there another 6 weeks or so and never had a single issue. though I knew where my boss kept his gun and I always made sure it was there when I started my shift. I certainly always locked the gate from then on. Thinking about this experience that night, the part that freaked me out the most was that he had to have waited around for me to leave for about 2 hours just to do that laugh. He didn't know me. I could have been crazy and the type of person to get mad and try and find and attack him. Yeah, and he didn't seem scared or to care while he tried to mess with me. For some random dude, this is probably a story that he tells from his point of view to make all his friends giggle hysterically. But for me, that dude, the one I call Angel in the Snow Guy, the one with the laugh that I'll never forget, well, hopefully I never encounter him or anything like this again.